Jen and Angela. I am recording here on a muggy Philadelphia evening because I heard that you were doing a show about Star Trek Into Darkness and the way that that film slash the Abrams films in general treat women. I have to say that I expect I will be the only one with this perspective on the show, but my perspective is honestly that the treatment of women in the film was very good. In fact, if I've had any complaint about the Abrams films in general, it's tended to be that they amped up Uhura's role ridiculously over what her job description would make reasonable just to give her things to do. I mean, we have a Star Trek 2009 poster, and the picture, the people pictured are Kirk, Spock, and Uhura, which is traditionally the spot reserved for McCoy or the guest star of the series, or, you know, it's previously been filled by Savick, Ilia, Khan, or again, just McCoy. So the fact that they have made her, in their view, and perhaps that was just marketing, sort of the new third member of the big three, to me is very telling about how centralized they want to make her. So, Into Darkness itself. Yes, we do only have two female protagonists. However, keeping in mind that essentially this is a retelling of Wrath of Khan, and they are essentially reusing the cast from Wrath of Khan, minus, of course, Savick, who, yes, is a strong central female character, but also, if they're following what little timeline continuity logic they have been in the Abrams films, would also probably be a toddler right now, so probably not really logical to include. The female characters of the film are pretty much evenly represented. Several male supporting characters have been removed, and the only new character really that we get is Admiral Marcus. I suppose the lying, conniving, warmongering, slightly insane, power-mad monster with his giant conspiracy could have been a female character, but somehow I don't really think that that's would be helping the treatment of female characters' case in any way. So I really think above board there. Again, the male-female ratio is largely determined by the cast of the original films and by the cast of the Bridge Crew, which did only have one female member. And I have seen people saying, well, they could change that. They could bring in some new female head of security or some new female doctor or what have you. I really wouldn't like that because I came here to see a movie about Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Uhura, Scotty, Sulu, Chekhov, the characters that I like from the original series. So, I mean, it's kind of like those adaptations of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or Journey to the Center of the Earth that feel the need to throw a token girl in there, but then don't really have anything to do with her. She's just there so that there will be a female presence on the screen. Since the story was not about that character, we came to see a story about the characters from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or Journey to the Center of the Earth. I don't necessarily think she should be there, just because that's not the story being told. That's artificial, arbitrary, and you're just putting it in there for the sake of putting it in there, which is sort of a form of sexism. I suppose it's called affirmative action or whatever these days, and it's supposed to be a good thing. But usually just kind of sticking a token character in there to be a token character in there, to me, comes off more belittling and insulting than a stride towards equality. That brings us to the second point, and that is role within the film, because to my eyes, both Uhura and Carol get more screen time, more lines, and more pivotal plot points than any other member of the crew, except perhaps Scotty, you know, bar Kirk and Spock, who are essentially the primary two. They've always kind of been the two leads of the films. They're going to get the lion's share of the screen time. It's just how it happens. But of the remainder of the cast, their screen time and their accomplishments trump pretty much everyone else's. They both get showcase moments where Chekhov, where Sulu, where McCoy do not. Notably, when they go down to face the Klingons and Kirk is pretty much saying, we just got a hole up here, we got to get out of here, Uhura is the only one with sufficient knowledge and expertise, and apparently commando training, which, frankly, why does a communications officer have commando training? But anyway, to convince Kirk to let her go out and actually face the Klingons, that he is actively saying no one's going to go out there and face these guys, it's too dangerous. She's also the only one that knows their language, and the only one sufficiently knowledgeable enough about their culture to make that honor play, which I was really impressed with when I was watching the movie. I'm like, oh, wow, she knows her stuff. Exactly the tack to try and take with them. It did look as if the Gambit was unsuccessful in the end, but the thing is, that is not a point against Uhura as a strong female character, the fact that she did not succeed, because movies with protagonists and antagonists are by definition filled with scenes of the protagonist's efforts not succeeding until the very finale. If they succeeded before that...
That's a fact. If there was someone who was, like, dying, and you ran up and went to save them, and they were like, hey, dude, I wasn't really dying, I was just filming a movie, does that make your actions any less heroic? You put yourself in danger specifically to help somebody. Whether it worked or not, whether they were never actually in any danger, doesn't mean anything about you. It says a lot about your character and that you're a brave, strong person.
Exactly. A side note from my very own anomaly. That would be my point as well, that the success or failure of an effort is not a determiner of a strong character. If you had a movie character in Lord of the Rings series that had nothing but a dagger and strode out onto the field of battle to face the Dark Lord Sauron in one-to-one combat, would they only be considered a strong character, a brave or courageous character, a gutsy character, if they succeeded in killing him with that dagger? Or would they be a strong character simply for having gone out to face him, knowing what was at stake? So, yes, because the bad guys are treacherous and do not immediately, in the manner of a Mary Sue, get completely 180 degrees turned around by Uhura's words, her efforts do not meet with success. But then again, Kirk's attempt to take over the Vengeance later in the film doesn't meet success. Does that mean, because ultimately he's incapacitated and beamed back to the ship, that his entire run of the debris gauntlet and subsequent firefight to take over the ship was not a heroic or a strong moment for him just because the end result was that the villain outmaneuvered him? I don't think so. I think that those were still strong moments. Just because a sudden reversal comes, well, that's the entire definition of a second act, that the situation reverses on the heroes, they're not successful. That doesn't mean that nothing they do up to the point at which their efforts finally succeed is heroic or is an indicator of their character. Likewise, we do get more exploration of Uhura's character than almost anyone else, including Scotty. Yes, it is in the context of her relationship with Spock, but that's a point that brings us to her final big scene, which is when she beams down and saves the day, and you could say arguably defeats Khan. Yes, Spock delivers the final punch, but only because she beams down to save him, and I've seen people discount that because, oh, she was just beaming down to rescue her boyfriend. I don't understand how facing a genetically engineered Superman and going into the final fight and resolving it within the movie is somehow negated by the motivation being to save someone she loves.
Also, how come if Spock was a stranger and she did it, then it would have been awesome?
Exactly. And if it had been a sibling, or a parent, or a coworker, or any kind of an innocent victim.
Being in love doesn't make you less of a person. But that's what everybody's basically saying.
Yeah.
Because I'm in love, I'm not as cool as I could be if I was like, oh, I don't love a man, I just fight for all. Well, guess what? I love a man and I still fight for all. So take that.
Right. And point A is that, was Ripley any less of a strong character in Aliens because she was fighting through the aliens, not just because they needed to be fought, but because she was trying to rescue someone that she loved? Because that was a little child, that was deemed okay. But here, because Uhura was going to rescue a man she was in love with, that somehow diminishes
her actions? That doesn't make any logical sense. I've seen this oftentimes. It's been a major sticking point of people's analysis of women's role in film, and I frankly think it's stupid. The whole damsel in distress plotline, a man going to rescue the woman he loves, has been a tradition of cinema and storytelling for centuries. It is typically the epitome of a noble cause. Think about Princess Bride. True love is the noblest cause of all. And yet, for some reason, when the damsel is going to rescue a male in distress, that's deemed as, oh, she's being weak. She's not being her own person. She's not independent. Why? Why, when the role is reversed, is that suddenly a weak motivation? That, to me, makes no sense. Just because a woman is romantically involved with someone does not in any way diminish her character, unless it equally diminishes the character of a male character to do anything because he's in love with a woman, in which case, pretty much the sum of human storytelling from the Iliad to medieval dragon slaying myths to the Princess Bride to Die Hard are also completely rendered irrelevant. So to me, that's just not a valid argument. Secondly, we have the character of Carol Marcus, an individual who has become suspicious of a Starfleet conspiracy that none of the rest of the major cast are aware of, launches a one-woman investigation into the highest ranks of Starfleet, successfully forges credentials, and infiltrates the Enterprise itself. I don't know exactly where we are lacking in character strength here. Yes, the underwear scene was pointless, tasteless, and stupid. Then again, so was the one of Kirk with his shirt off in bed with a couple of cat girls. But now maybe you'll just say, oh, see, but there's just more women being degraded. I don't know. Point is, seems to me, well, I'd say tit for tat, but that could probably get taken completely the wrong way in this context. So I might edit that out. Either way, it seems to me that that has no honest bearing. Yes, it's gratuitous eye candy. It's stupid. But that doesn't really change the fact that she's a strong character. Again, going back to Ripley in Alien, she strips down to her underwear for no reason for the finale of the film. It's stupid. It's pointless.
She's in underwear in every single movie.
But the point is, Ripley is not counted as any less of a strong female role model because they decided to stupidly undress her in one scene. That is a bump in the road. It's stupid. I don't approve of it. But it doesn't affect the strength of the character. Carol goes to risk her life to try and open one of the torpedoes on a barren planetoid. She willingly volunteers to place herself in potentially lethal danger, and when push comes to shove, she manages to save McCoy's life. I have heard the complaint that, oh, she doesn't succeed except just by dumb luck. It's not by her skill. I disagree. Obviously, it's a very subjective interpretation of the scene. To me, she is using her expertise in the field to work on an unknown device. She gets as far as she does and ultimately succeeds because of her knowledge and education. You could say just dumb luck in her final action, but bomb defusal scenes usually do come down to dumb luck, which of the wires you pick. I would not count that against the strength of the character, nor say that any of her skills or the courage in just going down to the planet are any lessened by the fact that they threw in a standard trope that happens to every male bomb diffuser in every movie from Abyss to James Bond. Likewise, we have her take a stand, standing up to her father and basically one of the heads of Starfleet, Admiral Marcus, in a bid to rescue the Enterprise. She gives a speech, she gets a moment in the spotlight. Some people complained a little too much spotlight with the lens flare over her shoulder. She essentially becomes the one on whom the survival of the Enterprise rests. Now, again, just like with Uhura and the Klingons, in the end that does not succeed because Marcus manages to beam her over despite her attempts to prevent it. But to me, that does not negate in any way the stand that she took or the vital importance of her role within the film. And at the end, she becomes a new member of the bridge crew that will presumably become a member of the main cast at the end. She is the only person that we have had in these movies, in the manner of Savick, to be added to the main cast for the next movie. Now, you could say only two big scenes each. While they demonstrate a lot of strength, while they have a lot of screen time, that's only two things that each of them do. But again, I will refer you to Chekhov. I will refer you to Sulu. Minus the one scene in the middle of the movie where he sabotages the Vengeance, I'll refer you to Scotty. Pretty much none of them get any kind of moments, even near as grand as that. At best, each of them get maybe one. The truth of the matter is, this is a movie that does focus primarily on Kirk, Spock, and on the villain, which is a Star Trek tradition. But in terms of the strength of these characters, they do outshine pretty much every other supporting player in the film, to the point that their supporting roles verge on becoming main roles on par with the primary villain guest star. When you look at Trek's past, there have not been major strong moments for female characters pretty much in any of the movies. Uhura did not get as much screen time as Khan in the original movie. She did not, in fact, have much of anything important to do at all. Ilea? She pretty much sat there and got killed. The probe got a little bit more of a central role. You could argue for Savick and Gillian Taylor as strong female leads, and Valeris, albeit as a somewhat villainous one. But when you look all throughout, these characters have not had a good showing. I mean, Dr. Crusher and Counselor Troy's entire role in Insurrection pretty much boiled down to one conversation that I don't think was an advancement for strong female characters in the world of cinema. The truth of the matter is, this has always been Star Trek's weak point. But I look at female characters throughout the breadth of the movies, especially Uhura and the roles she was given. If she was lucky, she would get one showcase scene per movie. And I think that this is an improvement. This is a step in the right direction that should be lauded and not criticized for falling short of standards that, to my mind, seem to be too high to ever be met. It seems like the only thing that I have heard suggested to improve on this movie would be to introduce an entirely new female main character that has a central role in the bridge crew. And since that really has no particular place in the story that was being told, I don't think that's really a valid criteria. I don't think it's fair to critique based on a wish list of, well, they could have done this because, well, yes, you could have gone and seen a different movie with a female protagonist. Within the framework of Star Trek XII, within the established characters that they have, and the story they were trying to tell, I think that they pretty much maximized all of the female roles and gave them extremely laudable, extremely strong, self-sacrificing, competent, knowledgeable, brave, and clever characters that got a very central role on screen. So again, I suspect I will be the only one weighing in on this side of the debate, but minus one gratuitous underwear scene, and yes, those have got to go from the Abrams movies. I would prefer Star Trek movies that once I have kids, I can show them from a young age. I think beyond that, really their actions are, if not above reproach, certainly far above the undeserved level of reproaches they've been getting. So, this has been exceedingly long, and I will have to edit out a heck of a lot of it. But that is my perspective on women and Star Trek Into Darkness.